Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Who am I? I'm Bob Dean.
Hey, Bob.
And we have Tom and Melissa Gould, my co-hosts. And this gathering show is the show, as our regular listeners know, we field your questions. We welcome you to call in with your questions. We will attempt to give it our best shot and answer, or maybe you could teach us something. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. So I know that some of you have emailed, but we'd love to talk to you live. So if you want to join the show, just give us a call at 888-627-6008. Before we get started, I just wanted to mention that regarding our grief retreats, our April retreat is now filled, but you can go on the website and register for the waiting list. There are five seats left for the January retreat. They're both at the same venue in Florida. So with only five seats left, if you want to go, probably a good idea to make those registrations now via the website. So how are you guys doing?
Getting there.
We're doing well. We had a wonderful retreat. Boy, it was just a couple weeks ago, wasn't it? Hard to believe.
It was. I lose track of time.
Yeah, but it was very helpful, I feel like, to a lot of our attendees. So I'm glad you mentioned the upcoming retreats as well. And to add that the April one is strictly for those who've lost a child. And our other retreats are open to anyone who's experienced a loss.
Yeah, that was filled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, even though that's filled, you might want, you know, we do have cancellations occasionally, so there's still a chance that you could get in. And also, even if you lost a child, you may want to attend a different retreat, because the reality is that a great many of the people that attend the regular retreats also have lost a child. So we had a bunch of people that sent in some questions, some of these are long, but if you take the time to write, we'll read it. This will be a little heavy, but Jennifer writes, my beautiful son Garrett left us 6 months ago after battling metastatic melanoma for 18 months, and I'm still struggling every day with sadness and remorse. He was out from getting a life-saving treatment to stop his cancer, something we worked hard to get. He went through so much, immunotherapy, chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, brain surgery, and he fought sepsis twice. So it's a heavy load. Wow. So much pain, but he was doing better and getting stronger. He moved across the country, and we got doctors necessary for the procedure. His cells were gathered for the treatment and shipped to the lab. And all three of us, his father as well, and his three siblings finally felt like there was a future. He was stable and doing good with just one more procedure to endure. But then Garrett said he wasn't feeling well and started throwing up. So we took him in, and they basically told us the cancer attacked his liver and he had days, maybe hours to live. He asked me, what do we do now? I don't want to die. All I could do is love him and cry. I couldn't believe it. It all haunts me, especially our last few days together. I relive it over and over. Why? Why so close? I know Garrett now knows this answer. I wish he could tell us why. Where is he? Is he happy? Will we ever see him again? Can he visit us? Thank you for your help and guidance.
Oh.
I mean, of course, our heart goes out to you, Jennifer. I mean, the last questions first, and I think we'll all be in agreement that he is happy. You will see him again. He can visit you. As far as where is he? It's another dimension. It's right in front of us, but some we usually, can't see him. You guys could weigh in on the rest. I know it's not unusual somebody saying that they don't want to die when they're about to die. I mean, who of us, really does, especially when we love our people. As far as why it happened, boy, that question's been asked for since the beginning of time. And we don't know why. I mean, sometimes things happen, sometimes it's planned. What would you say, Tom?
Yeah, that's we've heard so much about the contract that you make before you come to this plane, and in it you basically lay out what you're agreeing to, and part of that is when you're going to leave. And often, fortunately, not too often, but all many times, that time is very short here on this world, and we have seen many examples of people who have passed early as a child or in their teens or maybe even early 20s that kind of had a sense of this. When you lose someone young and you go back and you see the things that they've written and that sort of thing, and you go, my goodness, this is awfully profound. Like they knew. And a lot of times they kind of do know. I mean, subconsciously we all know, but our conscious mind is blocking us from that knowledge. And maybe it's more than that, that you're not supposed to know, because whatever brought you to this planet is for a learning experience. And unfortunately, pain and suffering is something, an educational tool for your soul. Sorry to say, it's part of the deal in coming here. One question there that was earlier is where did they go? There isn't another place. I mean, this is the place. The physical world or the physical universe is the physical universe. And it's not a matter of going somewhere when you die. It's a matter of your losing your mortal coil, your human body, and your soul becomes pure energy. And that energy vibrates at a much, much higher rate than we can see or hear or feel. I often explain in our grief retreats how things work, that mediums, why mediums are so important to us, is that they have an ability to quiet their mind and raise their vibrations to a point where they can communicate with the higher vibrating energies. And of course, the energy itself, your loved one has to lower their vibration so they can meet somewhere in the middle with the medium. And there are mediums who will tell you that you don't need a medium. There are practices that you can do to get your mind in a place where you can clear out the chatter of your conscious brain, and then get yourself to be able to raise your vibrations. Not something that I've necessarily been able to do, although we've been to classes and tried and had a modicum of success, but by no means in any kind of communication that you would get with mediums.
Yeah, it's just always so heartbreaking when you hear, especially of someone who's young passing, and it's so their grief is so new still. But I'm hopeful that they receive some signs from Garrett and have a sense that he's out of pain, he is at peace, and one day they will be together again. And as Tom always says, it's a blip. Do you say a blip of an eye?
blip of time. Of eye,
blink yeah, of an yeah. eye. But, it's just such a, always so sad, such a tragic loss.
And my recommendation, too, a lot of people, they say, well, I want to see a sign, and they think it's going to be like an apparition appearing in front of you or a burning bush or something spectacular. Most signs are not spectacular. Most signs are somewhat mundane. You see a coin on the ground. You see a feather floating down. You turn on the radio and their favorite song is playing. When that happens and you think of that person, that's the connection. Your thought, your love for them keeps you connected. And so your grief is so very fresh and new to you at this point that it's difficult, and you want so desperately to hear from them, from him, I'm sorry. And so just be aware. Don't be looking for something huge. Look for the little signs. And Melissa has a great suggestion. She always tells our guests at the retreats is keep a journal. You know, if you see a penny on the, I saw a penny and it made me think of him.
It's what it made you think of.
And you write it down, right? I saw, you know, this day I saw this penny, I wrote it down. Another piece of advice, you don't have to pick up the penny. We have seen quarters in the public bathrooms. We don't have to pick those up, but we see the quarter and we say, oh yeah, hi, how are you doing? And that's the other part. When you see a sign and you think, even if you think, well, maybe it's a sign, maybe it's coincidence, just say hi, say, I love you. You know, send me more, let them know that you're picking up on that. And that should increase the signs you get. There's no guarantees, unfortunately, but that seems to work for a lot of people.
Here's a question from Timothy. A little science. You know, scientists now estimate that there are as many as 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. To get a handle on that number, 1 million crisp new $1 bills lined up in a row would stretch the approximate length of a football field. $1 billion would stretch 60 miles. $1 trillion would stretch for 60,000 miles.
Wow.
The Earth equator is only approximately 25,000 miles in circumference, so 2 trillion $1 bills would stretch around the Earth 5 times. Our galaxy is estimated to contain 1 to 400 billion stars with at least as many planets. So this leaves a lot of possibilities for intelligent life to develop, not just in our galaxy, but in the universe. But in discussions of the afterlife, we generally only hear about things pertinent to human beings. For example, vivid colors, pastoral scenes, opportunities to create, etc. If aliens do exist, do they inhabit our afterlife? Are there separate afterlife locations for humans and aliens? And can a human soul incarnate as an alien and vice versa?
Oh, if only we knew.
That last one, I'd love to have an answer for that.
Well, it's something that we've discussed, and I know it's something that I think about all the time, because it's just not logical to believe, if you believe in intelligent design, you know, and everything, at least in our physical world, seems to have a purpose. Even our bodies, everything works, you know, as if it's orchestrated. So why would there be, you know, billions and billions and billions of planets? And isn't it silly to think that this one little speck is the only place, yeah, you know, for life? So that never made sense to me, even as a child. The other questions, though, we've witnessed, you know, a few thousand medium readings. Not once has a medium ever made contact in a reading, at least with somebody that wasn't in a physical body at one time, you know. I mean, all except for their guides and, you know, and angels or whatever you want to call it. But my point is, nobody ever talks about making contact with an alien. So that it kind of leads me to believe that there are possibly different pathways of consciousness, you know, for alien life as opposed to human life, because we never hear, even in the channel reports, we don't hear talk about, you know, aliens. So, I mean, look, we don't know, but I'm open to the possibility that, you know, aliens go to a different dimension that humans do.
You know, when you in thinking about all those readings we've heard, it is the medium making a connection with somebody, the sitter, in ways that the sitter can recognize them. So they would possibly only bring through that human aspect of qualities of individuals. And have we ever asked the mediums? Have you picked up on something you cannot identify, therefore you're not speaking about it, but it puzzles you?
Yeah. Well, you make a good point, because even if the medium brought through an alien, you could not validate the information, you know. Right. So, you know, it's kind of what's the point. But I have talked to mediums, not many, but some, that describe encounters, you know, with alien life, you know. And I have no reason not to believe them, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and is it easier for, that's another thing, is it easier for alien consciousness to get through to somebody that's a medium in the physical world, you know, are they more in tune? I don't know. And, you know, if a, let's say, an alien soul incarnated into a human soul, would we know? Or vice versa? I don't know. I mean, a human soul, I think, you know, might be able to incarnate in another type of life form. You know?
I definitely think that, I don't think that there's an alternate universe for different kinds of beings. I think that, again, it's a vibration. You're a one wavelength or a not. And if you're an alien, if you're a human, if you're a dog, if you're a tree, and your life force ends on this planet, you're just raising your vibration. You're not going anywhere. You're just different. And so from that point of view, yes, I think everybody just becomes the energy, and then you're on whatever wavelength, just like we are now on the physical world, and we get reports of aliens flying by every once in a while. That's the same plane. So we're existing on the same plane now. We'll exist on the same plane. The other thing, another thing that came up in your discussion was, you talk about the medium bringing through somebody, bringing through your loved one, or bringing through. Well, the medium doesn't bring through anybody. When you go to a medium, you're in a two-way conversation, you and your loved one. The medium, and they'll be the first to admit, they're like the phone booth. Remember when there used to be phone booths? But, you know, you go to the phone booth, and if you stand in a phone booth and you don't pick up the phone and dial, you're not going to talk to anybody. So what you need is, you need to dial up that number. In other words, send the intention, I'd love to hear from you. And the other side wants to pick up the phone and talk back to you. So it's you're not raising your vibration. Your loved one is lowering their vibration, and a medium has the ability to raise their vibration to understand them. So that's all a medium is doing, is providing the connection. they can't summons anybody. They can't say, oh, I'd love to talk to George Washington. And they call, hey, George, are you out there? That doesn't happen. If George wants to talk to you and has a medium, that's the other thing. And when you go to a medium, your loved one says, oh, I've been sending signs. They haven't been getting my signs. I just want to let them know that I'm okay, that I'm doing well, and we'll be together again. And, oh, look at that. They're sitting with a medium, and I can actually communicate with that medium. That's how it works. The medium just opens the portal or sets up the opportunity to make this thing happen. But it's your loved one and you. That's the connection.
Yeah, I think that with what might be happening, we always talk, we believe that people in the next realm find themselves in groups of people of like mind, you know, and that's how we distinguish, but, you know, people that were miserable human beings maybe wind up initially with other miserable human beings and so forth. Well, it's possible that although they're all, you know, in the same dimension, that alien consciousness is very different than human consciousness, and they're sort of grouped in their own segment of that plane, you know.
I agree with that.
That's possible. Here's one. I'm at a loss to explain it. Rosa says that I was given a pendulum by a very good friend of mine a few months ago with instructions as how to use it. Due to my hectic and busy life, I neglected to learn all about it or use it until I heard one of your mediums discussing the use of these powerful tools on your radio show a few weeks ago. She claimed that its use should never be done by someone alone unless there's a second person in the room as well. I was confused when that information was given. She never discussed reasons why reading the pendulum should be done with someone else's company. I have never heard any medium say that. I would love to listen to that because I didn't. But I mean pendulums are used, you know, to kind of pick up energy, right? You know, it's not necessarily a tool to communicate with spirit. I don't know many mediums that use pendulums in mediumistic work.
No,
I would question them almost if they did. You know, I was tempted to pull up my pendulum on Tuesday evening, and then I thought against it that I didn't really want to ask any questions on Tuesday evening that I might not like the response to. But I've never heard that one should have a companion or a witness or support when using a pendulum.
Melissa uses it for when friends of ours are going to have a baby.
Yeah.
She uses her pendulum and is pretty right.
To find out the gender.
Yeah. Well, I think I mentioned I once took some of our mediums into a casino, and then somebody in our group was walking down the aisles of the slot machines holding a pendulum on the theory that when the pendulum started moving, that meant the energy of the machine was good, and that's the machine that they were playing. Of course, the medium stood very still, like, the whole time. But I don't know. Listen, we've heard things for tools that are meant to communicate with spirit, such as Ouija boards. You know, we've heard, which I don't personally believe, but, you know, I'm open to everything. You know, we've heard that people should never use a Ouija board to connect with spirit because you don't know what type of energies are going to come through. But you know, this is not the same thing. I think pendulum. And look, guys, you remember the story I told it. I don't know if you were with me at the time in that same retreat. Were you
by the pencil?
No. One of the mediums at this retreat, this is many, many, many years ago, was holding up a pendulum to measure chakras, and she asked me if I would come up and be the guinea pig.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
and she held the pendulum by my head, and it stood straight, didn't move. And then she moved it down to my chest, and it stood straight and didn't move. And then my stomach straight didn't move. And then she held it down to my groin area, and the pendulum started swinging wildly. And then for the entire weekend, my name wasn't Bob, it was the big
You know, Bob, I have a picture I could hold up to the screen right now, taken in the Bahamas, and somebody went into town and got there were gummy letters, you know, gummy bears, and they were the shape of letters, and you were holding up a plate spelling out big
Big shot. I'm sorry, but every time I think of pendulums,
chakra.
I'm scarred for life after I think of pendulums. I don't know that, and I have to go back and listen. I'd like to know which one of our mediums said that. Okay, here's another one. I understand by my readings and your radio show, personal stories, that when someone is about to die, they start receiving visits from deceased family members. It happened to my mother, and she used to tell me in details. My question is, does this happen with animals as well? I noticed some dogs of mine that when illness or trauma affected them, they began looking into corners, isolated areas, etc. Even when I tried to distract them by calling their names or saying something to them, they continued looking silently into these places and neglecting to listen or looking at me. I always wondered if they were seeing other deceased dogs or people they knew alerting them to their soon passage. You have any information about this? I don't doubt it. I mean, we hear countless stories, not necessarily always having to do with them seeing other deceased dogs, but just seeing spirit, in the room. They just appear to be communicating with entities, human or not human, that we don't see. So I would think, since we know that dogs have consciousness and do go to the next realm, and they make themselves known in medium readings, that I wouldn't be surprised if other dogs, even their own dog parents, came through to escort them to the other side like they do us.
Yeah, Tom has a brown dog waiting for him in from some lifetime.
Something, yeah, it usually comes up in a reading, but that brings up a good point, is that dogs and children are more likely to experience and see spirit, and that's why you will get a dog staring up into the corner of the ceiling, or even barking at the corner of the ceiling, things like that, and children talking about their imaginary friends who visit them, and yet we, the higher intelligence of people, we don't see these things, and so we rule them out. But the reason is we've been trained not to. We've been told, oh, that's just your imagination, or oh, that's just this, or that's just that. So by the time we become adults, we have trained our mind not to acknowledge what we are actually seeing or hearing. And if that could change, and we could get back to a more pure thinking, we could be communicating with our ancestors.
This is The Gathering. In case you wanted to join a conversation or have a question, the number here is 888-627-6008. Here's another question also involving a dog. Allison begins, what does it mean when two separate mediums get the same info or message? Two different mediums have told me that there were two angels that assisted one of my beloved non-human soulmates, an Akita dog, when he transitioned. The mediums each told me that there was confusion on his end, probably because I made the vet resuscitate him. If I knew then what I know now, I would never have done that. Honestly, I felt a spiritual tug of war for hours before I finally let him go and he transitioned. I was clueless about the other side and how things work then. And she thinks she sees a bigger picture now. Well, it's kind of what they, along the lines of what, you know, the previous question that, yeah, I mean, it's very likely that, that the mediums were right. I mean, as far as it, to me, whether we're dealing with you know, pets or human beings, I like it when two separate mediums get the same info. You know, it's
yeah.
It's an additional layer of validation.
Exactly.
So you as a sitter, the person getting the message, can put more stock in that. But as far as the dogs go, I think that, listen, I know that many people struggle with end of life with their dogs, you know, where they have to put them down because we don't want them to suffer. And there's a tremendous amount of guilt that comes with that. So a tug of war, a spiritual tug of war would be, you know, expected. But given the facts here, you know, she said that she made the vet resuscitate him, which is unusual, right? And
yeah.
then two mediums picked up on that.
Yeah.
I take that as what it is, right?
Yeah, that's evidential.
Yeah. Definitely. Let's see. Andrea writes, a question I have been pondering that maybe you would like to discuss on your show is, when spirits communicate in a reading that they are watching over us or are right beside us, is there a general consensus among mediums on whether or not spirits actually see and hear us going about our daily lives, or are spirits receiving our thought energy and connecting and experiencing our lives through our consciousness, but not necessarily by still participating in the physical sensory world?
Well, that's interesting, because I was thinking about that the other day. Spirit energies don't have eyes to see the way we do, or ears to hear, or voices to speak. So it is just that consciousness knowing what's going on. And, you know, we always get those questions, people nervously, like, oh, are they in the bathroom with me? Or, you know, other personal habits the person might not want their moms to be in on. And, but again, you know, it's, I don't think it's like that. I think it's more our thoughts are what connect us to our loved ones. And having just said that, I'm wondering now, if we summon them with our thoughts, or are they summoning us, like with the signs, and the they can't make the sound, but they're drawing our attention to certain music being played, which carries a vibration. We know that with music. Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts about that. What do you think, Tom?
Well, I first of all, I think they do see, they do participate, because we've seen many readings about, oh, you had the wedding. Yeah, I was at the wedding with you. I saw everything. In fact, the near-death experiences that we've heard about, they talk about it being so incredibly beautiful. The colors are more vibrant and even more colors than you can imagine. So they are seeing, and because they don't have eyes and ears, they're seeing much clearer and hearing much better than they ever did in physical form. And then I'll go back to this. this reading with that my dad came through on and talking about, hey, you see that jet ski out there? As soon as his reading's over, I'm going to go out and ride on the back of the jet ski all day long, and he'll never even know I'm there. So, yeah, you can, in spirit, you can go where you want to go. You can do things, and everything happens by thought, and it's instantaneous. And you have, what do we say, a billion stars that you could go visit if you wanted to. So there's an awful lot to do. And plus, I've also heard that there's still work to be done when you get to the other side. The whole expression, rest in peace. Well, apparently you're not resting. You're still working on your soul. You're still trying to improve and grow.
I mean, I agree with all of that. But I think that it is, they are certainly aware of things that happen in our lives, but they're not so concerned with the mundane stuff, and they're not monitoring us 24 hours a day. There's other things to do. But the connection is there, by thought. Sometimes with thinking of them, they hear it. Sometimes we say their name out loud, they hear it, and they seem to be able to make themselves known at opportune times when we need to hear for them. So clearly, I mean, we've seen that time and time again where they seem to communicate in response to a request. So yeah, I think that they're aware of things that go on in our lives, but as you mentioned, Melissa, that they're not watching us while we go to the bathroom,
Here, using the word see makes us think of our senses. So the senses are there. It's just the tool that is used for the sensory intake has
It's
changed.
actually, it's beyond the senses, right?
You don't need the eyeballs anymore, or the voice box.
Melissa has an analogy that I think is great, and if I may, she talks about if you're at a party and you're over there talking to friends, and then another group of people are nearby talking, and one of them mentions your name. What happens? You perk up and go, "Oh, who's talking about me?" And then you turn and look. And that is what it's like. If you mention the name of your loved one, they're hearing it and they're going, "Oh, why are they talking about me?" And that you can bring them to you. But like, yeah, nobody's, "Hey, listen, you got through this life having to take one step at a time and be mired in your physicality." When you get to be pure energy, the last thing you want to do is follow somebody else around on this one step at a time kind of living.
And it's also, don't forget, I mean, they pick up on our emotions, Love is an emotion too. So, more so than us trying to, requesting them, they just come when they sense that, they feel the emotion.
And I do believe that love is the currency of the universe. And one of our purposes here is we're kind of miners for love. We're down here in the salt mines of Earth, and the more love that we share and create and give out, that love is fueling our loved ones on the other side and giving them energy. There's no evidence or proof of that in whatsoever, but I just have to believe it.
Well, that love bond, that the impact that they had on us, that we're still talking about it, them and thinking about them and missing them and loving them, speaks a lot to the kind of life they lived and what kind of person they were. So we're helping them elevate. And unfortunately, I think the flip side of that is the more that the loved one, the spirit elevates to a higher plane, our communication with them might lessen possibly because they're on to higher, greater good for all and less about this physical world. But that's just my thoughts about it. And but the love that we send to them definitely helps them on the other side.
Right. This is an experience that I'll read, which ends in a question. My dad passed away 3 years ago at age 96. Shortly afterwards, I was walking by our favorite waterfront restaurant in Tacoma, Washington, where we had a delightful family meal out on the deck overlooking Mount Rainier and the ferry to Vashon Island. I looked down and saw fresh blueberries scattered all around the sidewalk leading to the restaurant. It was puzzling. Then I remembered that during the COVID lockdown, I had flowers and berries sent to my dad each week. He loved blueberries. This September, on the third anniversary of his passing, I went to the grocery store early in the morning. Oddly, there were blueberries spilled all over the entrance to the store. It's the same store that used to send him the flowers and the blueberries.
Wow.
It made me smile. Blueberries, hummingbirds, sunflowers, and yellow cars remind me of my dad, who had a very sunny personality. Do you think that we may be missing signs from our loved ones because we don't expect them in certain forms?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know I get upset for the individual who tells me I still haven't gotten my sign yet. You know, we agreed on a sign. I know early on with the Forever Family Foundation, and you had the sign registry for people to list the signs. All along I thought, but how do we know what we'll be capable of? We're putting everything in human terms. We don't know what we'll be able to do on the other side. And we might not choose anything sort of mundane or that we would think about in human form. So for those individuals who keep saying, I'm still waiting for my sign, sort of broaden your horizons and, you know, see how other things make you feel or give you that sense that your loved one is near.
Yeah, many people would just walk over those blueberries on the and just think nothing of it.
Exactly. And then instantly when she saw the blueberries, she had that knowing that this was her dad, you know. So it's a very personal thing, you know, and directed totally to her. And like you say, Tom, if you or I were walking in the store, it was, oh, some guy spilled all the blueberries, you know, what's it men mean nothing to us and everything to her, you know, so yeah. That's really cool.
You know, it's reminding me of an experience I probably spoke about, and it's, you know, goes back to the reading Tom mentioned that I had with his dad and the communication. I was gifted this reading and I thought, oh, I, you know, whoever's going to show up, I would just like to have a conversation with them. And it turned out to be his father. But during the course of the reading, his father mentioned our daughter, who was then engaged to her future husband. And during the course of the reading, the medium was expressing to me something about giving a toast. And I knew right away Tom's dad never drank alcohol or anything, but one would still maybe cheers or, you know, do a toast. But he talked about plastic glasses and he goes, well, I'm not sure if this is a picnic. I'm seeing plastic glasses. I don't know what that would mean. And I didn't know at the time. His parents were boaters. I figured, oh, if they're out on the boat with friends, you know, they would only use plasticware, I'm sure. But months later, I would say, you know, 3 or 4 months later, I got to attend our future son-in-law's dissertation. And after his dissertation, there was a reception for him, and it was in the university building, and I'm going to look for Kevin and to see where this, and I was alone. Tom was at home. He couldn't make it there, but I see Kevin through a, you know, large plate glass window putting together plastic champagne glasses for a toast for him. And immediately it was like, and this was months later, none of this was on my mind at all. But I had to call Tom. I was right there in the hallway. And I go, they're plastic glasses for a toast. Like, Tom's dad was here. And then later in a photograph that was taken at the same reception, right over our daughter's heart was an orb. And it was, you know, it's like that knowing that you have. You see it and you just know. So,
And it's exciting at the same time.
Yeah, very.
Yeah. Here's an interesting question. Is it possible to reincarnate into the past? Now, bet you never thought about that, but...
Time is no time, right? You guys keep telling me that.
Yeah, I have to... My initial reaction is yes, because as Melissa said, the two things, when you get to the other side, there are two things that you've been worried about and fretting over your entire life that are entirely meaningless. One is money and the other is time. There is no time. There was a movie, there was an Academy Award. I think they may have even won Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Right.
And that's basically what it's like. There is time for us is linear. We measure it in seconds and days and years. But on the other side, you're either at this point in time, or if you want to, you go to the 1700s. And I imagine that if there's a baby being born in the 1700s and you say, you know, let me see what it's like there, I would say yes, that you can.
I think so. I mean, we only go by current reincarnation research, you know, and that all the cases, and there's thousands of them, it's a linear progression. People from the past reincarnate, you know, into somebody in the future, and then they can investigate and go to the person's house that they say they used to live in and meet the family and pull records and everything. But if they reincarnated into the past, which I agree with you that certainly I think that's possible, there's just no way of us researching that, so we don't know about it.
Yeah.
You know, but yet that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. So sure.
Interesting.
I think that we definitely can. Here's another question. Some mediums help to find missing persons. You know, is that communicating with the dead? I'd say sometimes yes and sometimes no. Mediums, a lot of the mediums are pretty good with, you know, reading psychic energy and remote viewing, and they're not communicating with a discarnate source, but they're using their other tools to find things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also been cases where mediums, a person has died, and from the other side is leading the medium to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
I've read about that. There's a case in Diane Archangel's book about that, you know, in afterlife encounters. So, yeah, sometimes the mediums are not acting as a medium per se, you know, just using their other psychic tools.
Would this be, I mean, when you often talk about remote viewing, Bob, they're putting themselves, you know, in, they're seeing something that they're not actually there. But when you discuss remote viewing, or what was the, you know, the studies that
that's essentially what they're doing, right? So they're remote viewing this missing person. You know, I mean, the only difference is in remote viewing, they're usually given a target. Here, they don't have a target, so you know, so it's a little bit different. But I think the principle is the same. They're sending their consciousness someplace to try to, you know, to find it. So it's not only remote viewing, just sometimes people know things psychically, you know, and it is kind of interesting that a lot of people have a pretty good hit rate. I mean, police departments still, when they hit a cold case and it's a dead end, they figure, what do we got to lose, you know?
Right.
And sometimes they're really, really surprised because the psychic puts them on the right, track. So if the police departments, maybe publicly they don't admit it, but behind the scenes they'll use any tool that they can,
Sure.
wouldn't you? Yeah.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
would want every tool accessed if I was looking for someone.
And we have at least one certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation that does a lot of work with forensic psychology.
Right. Yeah, I know of a couple, so that must be interesting. I'd like to witness, some of those cases, learn more about it because, that stuff's kind of fascinating. Person was, can a child be a medium? Well, a child can have, for sure, mediumistic abilities, but if we're talking about a medium as a profession,
That
that
would
shouldn't
be.
be. But right, I mean, you need a certain level of maturity in talking to people in grief, but that doesn't mean that they don't have the ability as a child, right?
Right. In fact, there's so many children that have had this ability that they've coined a phrase for it. They call them indigo children, children who can communicate with spirit. So yeah, it does happen. But as you say, to actually be a professional medium and do a reading for a grieving person, you need some real life experience because there's what they say in the medical field, there's a bedside manner that's very important when we're doing a reading. You have to have a great deal of care and compassion.
And we've also heard mediums, either they've told us this or through the books they've written, the abilities that they had as children, they just thought everyone had them. They didn't know that this was something unusual. So it wasn't even probably investigated further because you would just think, oh, that, everyone's doing this.
And again, back to what I was saying earlier, the adults of the world are quick to say, "Oh, no, you're not, you're not, that's your imagination, no." And they get trained out of it.
Yeah, I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but I'll just address one more. It says, I have never had a medium reading because I'm afraid of what I might hear. Is this normal? So quickly, I think all three of us would say that in all the medium readings that we've witnessed, there's nothing that comes through that would be fearful, that would cause fear. I mean, it's only positive things that have come. Not everything is totally positive, but there's never been information that you would fear when you heard it. I think that sometimes people have issues with their loved ones when their loved ones were here, and then they think maybe their loved one is mad at them, but and that's what they're afraid, that their loved one's going to start cursing them out from the other side. But it just doesn't happen, right? I mean, the people on the other side have a different perspective.
Yeah, and to answer the question, no, it is not strange to
Not
fear
unusual.
that. My mother, we took my mother to many mediums after my dad died, and there was one in particular that she said, "Oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to hear what that person has to say." And so, yeah, I mean, the unknown is always comes with a fair amount of fear and doubt.
Yeah, I mean, so many of us have been conditioned all our lives to fear anything that we can't perceive with our physical senses. It's just the nature of things. We're hoping to help change that, but it's still fear is powerful, so as we've seen, it comes into play in all sorts of things. Well, it's time for Claude's global peace prayer. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment.
And I'd like to say our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to accept it.
Well, thank you guys, and thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Good night,
Good night.
everyone. Have a good night.
Take care, Bob.
Bye-bye.